On today's episode, we're looking at the big picture, specifically at awareness and choice. You see, we may not have any idea how we've inherited our choices through our experience, through our relationships. And until we have some sense of awareness of how we are, what we do exactly, our life can be like the sum of our life experiences. Oh, because this happened to me, I do this now. So how can we become aware and crystal clear about how we are, and how we are has an effect on us, has an effect on others, how we can have choice with how we are, how we act. And when we find this awareness, and we find new choice, what comes with that is responsibility and leadership. To become effective leaders, we need to be aware of ourselves. Welcome to the show. This is the Expand Your Ability podcast. I'm your host, Jeffrey Schwinghammer. I'm a certified Feldenkrais practitioner, Kinesa practitioner, and documentary filmmaker. This show explores how our bodies are our doorway to understanding who we are and how we are, and can open new worlds up to us if we have the right kind of process. Before we get into the topic at hand, I want to say thank you. Thank you, dear listeners, for your support. This is episode number 50. That's right, 50. This is episode 50. I started this 50 weeks ago, about. And it's been no small accomplishment. And I really, it's because of your support along the way that's made this possible. So thank you. Thank you, dear listeners, for listening and sending in your emails. I really appreciate hearing from you. It's been so great to hear how the show has inspired so many of you. I think that's super awesome. All right, so today we're looking at awareness and choice. I'll talk about awareness, why it's important, and I'll offer a simple awareness process to help you understand where you are and give you the opportunity to make a new choice as well. And from there, I'll connect it into leadership. So I'm aiming to have big picture ideas and something practical you can walk away with today. All right, so awareness is so key. It's so fundamental to the Feldenkrais process, other work I've studied, including Kinesa and the emotional body. This awareness is that there's actually a universe of new possibilities within us that is sort of locked away behind a lack of attention to ourselves, a lack of a process to work with ourselves, and a lack of curiosity. And this universe can open up to us if we know how to access it, how to be with ourselves. You see, there's so much that we don't really realize is kind of a habitual, the past kind of running through us until we are in one of these lessons, in one of these sessions in this Feldenkrais work or embodiment or somatics. We don't realize how we're motivated by these past patterns, because they just run so efficiently, so beneath the surface, and until we can pause, stop, taste it, what's going on? And then, we can try something different. Really, awareness is know thyself, right? Like what was the most wise thing, I think, from the Oracle of Delphi? Right, like it was like the banner phrase. I think it was "Know thyself," right? So this is a profound work of knowing thyself. And so, well, how is it that we don't know ourselves? Because we're descendants of a long lineage of many, many, many people, many generations, through growing and evolving cultures and clashes of cultures and many different types of environments and situations. And so we inherit not only our body and our sort of predisposition towards personalities, we are born into a family, right? And that family, your parents who raised you and were such a close bond to you, if you had parents like that, right? They also had parents, right? Whoever you've been with, they had their own experience of parents too. And down the line. And so all that is a sort of passing on of knowledge, but also like it's a way of being, right? If you've ever caught yourself talking like your your parent, right? It's like right there. They didn't teach you like in school. It's something that you sort of learned by osmosis. I was talking with a friend who has a daughter, and you know, it was over the phone, and I heard my friend speak and then her daughter speak, and I was like, oh my God, you're literally the same person, just a little bit different pitch. That was it. It was like, wow, the same mannerisms, the same expressions. I was like, that's striking. And so we have these patterns, right? And then we have the patterns of our local environment that we grew up in, right? So it's not just your family, it's all these families around you. It's the institutions, the schools, what you had access to, what you didn't have access to. Yeah. And then kind of the culture at large, right? Being an American or being British or, you know, wherever you're from. There's a certain cultural quality as well. And so all of this informs us, right? We're actually these information sponges or being sponges as we're growing up. And of course, like, wouldn't you want to get with the gang, right? You're a little baby, you're a little toddler, you're whatever, you know, you're like, this is, I'm learning to be in this environment, and here are all my examples, my representations of what it's like to be in the world. And then also my responses to all those people, right? We learn how to respond based on our own temperament, based on what we see other people do or not do. So there's so many layers to all of these patterns. And they just feel right. They just, what else would you do? This is how I do it. Until they don't serve you. Until they don't work out for you, right? There might be patterns that like get in the way of, I want to connect with people, but I feel like I can't. Oh, I really want to pursue this project, but I procrastinate or something, right? There could be all sorts of things that get in the way. Oh, I'm not supposed to do that. Oh, I don't feel like I can go out on stage, right? And so these things play out, and often they're sort of beneath the surface. And they might not even come to our conscious attention until many, many trials, many, many observations over time. And then we go, oh, I think this is something I do. And maybe I could question it, right? And I think the progression of awareness is something like, well, I don't even know what I'm doing. Just like blank thoughts on the matter. And then the next step is, you know, someone might say, hey, I think you do that. I don't do that. No, I don't do that. That's not something I do. And then the next step is something like, Oh shoot, I think I'm doing that. Huh. I think I do that. And then the next step is something like, oh shoot. Look, I'm doing that thing again. I can't stop doing it. I'm doing the thing. I can't stop. And then the next stage is something like, oh God, I'm doing that thing. I can't stop. All right. Okay. But I'm going to stop. Okay. I'm going to find something different. Okay. I'm just not going to do that. Something different. All right. Oh, I can feel it coming on. All right. All right. Let's slow down. What are my choices here? Right? You can begin to taste it sooner and sooner. And so to better able to get down this progression, to make the progression of becoming aware, right? You can become aware on any sort of habit or topic or thing that you do, right? There's that skill, right? Or it's not a skill per se. Like if you're one habit, right, is one thing. But how can you get better at catching all of your types of habits over time? That's right. Like, what if you were better in general? That's the skill set I'm pointing at, is the skill of becoming aware-able. That doesn't make sense. The skill of being able to be aware of your patterns and change them. Wait, do we have a word for that in English? Be flexible? Be reflective? I don't know what that is. But like, there's a skill there that you can actually get better across all of your habits to become aware and to evaluate them and to make the choices that you'd rather make. So that skill requires practice, right? Every skill requires practice. This requires practice. I'd like to offer a simple practice today that can help you build that general awareness. Now, before I get into that, do you have an awareness practice? Perhaps you do awareness through movement, the Feldenkrais class. Or do you have something else? Maybe it's meditation. Maybe it's journaling, right? If you don't practice, you don't change. So let's explore the practice now. Okay, so I'm going to guide you through something called centering. Centering is something I've learned from Mark Walsh. Mark Walsh is a very well-known embodiment teacher. So, all right, let's get into centering. So come to stand, or you can sit. Of course, all the caveats, like don't be driving. Although you could technically center while you drive, best not to practice the first time. Get used to it when you're not driving. All right, so let's get going. So you're standing, you're sitting, however you are. Please check in. Just simply, like, how is your experience right now? How do you feel? Give it a word. Give it a number of 1 to 10. Like, how strong is this feeling? Cool. Just a little baseline for us. And then what I would like to invite you to do is to sense how your feet or your bottom connects with the earth or the chair, right? By earth, I mean that which supports you, right? Sense the earth, sense the support. Okay, this is the first aspect. You could even think of your feet being twice their size. Okay. The first part is attending to the earth. All right. The next piece is bring your attention to your belly, like your low belly. And is there any tension there? Is there any restriction there? And could you soften your belly a little bit? Now, you might bring your spine forward and kind of jut your belly out. You don't have to do anything like that. You can just stay relatively vertical and let your belly fill with air, three-dimensionally, as if there was a ball there, like a balloon inflating and deflating. Great. So if there was some tension there and you could soften it, well, you just became aware of the tension you were holding. Nice. And then you made the choice to soften your belly, right? Awareness and choice. You see, when we're agitated, when we're emotionally charged, often that can send our attention upwards into our body, right? Right? We can get up into our heads, or we can get, you know, we lift up away from our feet in some sense, right? So to bring our attention to the earth and to our feet is to go in the opposite direction. If we're fearful or like there's a tension, like our breath can go up into our chest, maybe up into our throat, and to invite the air down into our belly is really helpful. It's kind of a counter to that direction. Okay? Cool. All right, so the next element is your jaw. Bring your attention to your jaw. And is there any tension there by chance? Are you holding your teeth tightly? Yay or nay? That's okay if you are. Okay if you're not. If you are, I invite you to soften your jaw a little bit, right? If you're thinking of any sort of beast that when it attacks, it lunges and it bites and it holds hard on whatever it's got, and it's not going to let go. Well, we humans do that with our jaw, and sometimes we forget that we're doing that and we hold our jaw tight. And so you can invite it to soften. It might not soften 100%. You don't have to force it. But to be aware, hey, I'm aware of this. Okay, I accept that my jaw is tight. Cool. All right, soften my jaw a little bit. And doing that, does that change your breath? Does that change your balance? Great. Right? It's not that these are isolated steps. They actually kind of cascade together. They affect each other. All right, the next element is your eyes. Bring your attention to your eyes. Where do they look? How are they focused? Right? You could bring your hand in front of your eyes as if you're to read a phone. Like, that's pretty common for most of us, is like to focus at this distance. I invite you to soften your vision so you take in more of your environment and to even kind of take in the periphery, right? So one way to do this is to bring your hands to the outside, so up to shoulder height, way to the outside. Maybe you can't see your hands out here. That's cool. And wag one of your fingers, kind of like a flag, and bring that further into field of view until you can see left and right, both left hand and right hand at the same time. Okay, so if you can see in front of you and left and right, right, that's more of a softer view, right? You're taking in the whole picture, including the periphery. Great, you can put your arms down. That's just to give you a sense of what we're aiming at, right? It's not iPhone vision. It's broad landscape vision. Cool. All right, and the last piece is to check with your relative alignment. Is your head relatively over your pelvis? Is your pelvis relatively over your feet? Cool. And every step of the way, when you check in like this, is how am I right now, right? What am I maintaining right now? Am I holding a particular tension someplace? And you might notice that you come out of certain conversations feeling tense in certain parts of you, feeling very focused with your eyes or your jaws holding a little bit extra. That's okay. This is the awareness piece, right? And there's something where you can make a choice here, right? Okay, I can soften my belly. I can soften my jaw. I can work with my eyes. And then you can cycle through them. All right, I'll go this way, I'll go that way. That's fundamental awareness and choice. All right, so how would you describe your experience now? Give it a word, give it a number in terms of how strong of an experience it is. Is there something different about you now than there was some minutes ago? Yeah. I'm willing to bet something changed. I don't know exactly what for you. Every individual is going to have a little bit of a different experience. But I'm willing to bet something changed, right? When we use our attention in different ways, change our body in ways like this, it feeds back into our experience, giving us a new experience. If you like, I invite you to journal a few sentences. What did you notice? How could this be helpful in your daily life? Just 2 to 4 sentences. And come on back when you're ready. I'll be here. So hit pause and return. All right. So as we become aware of our patterns, and we expand our range of choice, right? Work like Feldenkrais and Kinesa and emotional body and all sorts of other practices are really good at expanding our range of choice. And as we dial both of those up, in comes responsibility, right? Responsibility that, okay, this is me. This is what I do. Okay, do I like it? Is it helpful for me? Is it helpful for others? Does this align with my values? Is this how I want to show up in the world? Yeah. In the Awareness Through Movement book, Feldenkrais talks about, it's right here at the preface. He says our self-image, that which is our totality in which that governs how we act. Our self-image is the usness that leads to our actions. He says it's conditioned in varying degree by 3 factors: heritage, education, and self-education. Right? Heritage is out of our control. Education is largely out of our control. Self-education is certainly informed by our environment and our culture and our education, but it is self-education where we have choice, have some element of choice. Yeah. And so a part of self-education is becoming a steward for our learning, our a steward for our unfolding, in a sense. We become leaders of where we're going, and it's not sunshine and rainbows, at least not all the time. Okay, so why can it be difficult to be a leader? So as I said at the beginning, there's that whole history of our ancestors, of our culture, of all these patterns handed down to us that we inherit. Great, we inherited all these patterns, right? And there's a sort of stasis, there's an equilibrium that can come out of even not the best of patterns, right? It's just, this is how our family operates. This is what our family does. This is what we talk about. This is what we don't talk about. Yeah? I know how to do these skills, and I've never once even thought about these skills that I don't even know, right? Like, there can be just all sorts of variance in terms of what we know and what we don't know, and what we don't know, we don't know. And, you know, as the adage goes, change can be scary. People like to resist change. And so when you take leadership and start stewarding your life, that you make the space for who you can be, who you want to be, that's going to change the dynamics of all the systems around you. Sometimes it's going to be great, and sometimes it's going to be difficult. People just might not get it. They might push back, right? You know, as we, you know, these methods that I talk about, this embodiments or somatics, it's about understanding ourselves in a way that deepens our insight, deepens our sense of self, yeah? Helps us attune to ourselves. And that is a profound skill to develop. And those who are not equipped with it may not know how to understand what's going on, right? And so I think we will all experience resistance. And I think at a larger scale, eventually, right? Eventually, you know, first we might have to take care of ourselves in quiet. We might have to learn in quiet, because like there can be a lot that we learn and change, and hopefully we can find some people we can work with. But eventually, I think the bigger picture is that we become leaders. We use our awareness and our range of choice to create situations that not only work out for us, work out for other people. And we actually invite people in to higher levels of awareness and choice as well. Our world and our culture, I'm speaking from a North American culture perspective, is very much still largely associated with just what the brain can produce, intellectual thoughts, a way of objectifying ourselves and the world, a sort of disconnection kind of thinking. And so by becoming leaders, we're taking a stand for a way of relating and understanding each other that we want other people to step into, right? Our leadership is saying, hey, this is valuable. I'm going to talk about this. I'm going to share about this. I'm going to explore this and invite other people to come with me. I would like to invite you to not be shy. If you have an awareness practice, if you do Feldenkrais or some other modality, and it helps you cultivate yourself, understand who you are, I invite you to be a leader, to live out your values, to live out awareness, to be reflective, and then also to invite others in as well, right? Like, hey, this has helped me work with this. I now understand myself better. This is really cool, right? To get the conversation started with those around you, to invite them to join you to a class, something like that, right? Share about your learnings, right? Maybe it's, I didn't realize I was doing this in my relationship, and then I became aware of this, and I've been working to change it, and now things are way better, right? That's the kind of stuff we need. All right. In this episode, I hope I have illuminated the relationship between awareness, choice, and leadership. Intellectual knowledge is good and also not enough. We need to have a practice. And in this episode, I offered the centering as a basic practice, something you can do anywhere, at any time, a way of checking in and centering yourself. And it's really important that our practice is also supported, whether that's working with a teacher or in a community, attending classes, whatever helps support you. Thank you for helping me reach 50 episodes of the Expand Your Ability podcast. It's kind of amazing. That's a lot of episodes. So thank you so much. I have a request for you. Would you keep an eye out for me? I'm using this work that I'm describing, awareness, movement work, Feldenkrais, to help filmmakers and videographers, right? People who work on set or in the editing room, who use a lot of tools, devices, and equipment and gear that may struggle with back pain, right? Something I know from my experience is that you got to work quick and you got to move a lot of stuff. And if you're not physically in a good way, in a well-organized way to meet that need, it can be a real challenge and a lot of wear and tear. So I want to support filmmakers and videographers who have back pain to restore their backs and make them more healthy and capable. And so they're able to work more jobs and to operate at peak creativity. When we have back pain or other physical tension and restrictions, it restricts our creativity. So that's what I'm interested in. I wonder if anyone comes to mind for you. Please send an email. I'd love to hear from you. And that's it. That's episode 50, everybody. Thank you so much. I'll be changing gears here in terms of how I do the podcast. I'll do a brief episode next week, saying a little bit more. Thank you so much, everybody. I hope you have a great day, and thank you for your attention.